Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert evaluation. We're the word association. We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert evaluation. We're the word association.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Word Association. I'm Rob White alongside Adil Rafai and Brett Lyons. And you know, lately we've been opening up with some improvised bits, some scenes, if you will. But I thought I would change it up a little bit. And for today's episode, gentlemen, if you'll indulge me, I have a new segment for you called Rob Did It So I Don't Have To.
And, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So for this inaugural segment, Brett, Adil, listeners of Twat Nation,
Twat Nation.
We are.
Some like a twat.
Well, you know, after last week, I really got thinking. And guys, I read Gump & Co., so you don't have to.
Oh,
holy
no.
Shit. Are you kidding?
Are you?
I'm not kidding.
You have two children. Where did you find the time?
Well, full disclosure, it was the audiobook. I didn't have time to buy the book when I made this call, but I did listen to the audiobook.
Rob.
Wow.
Just
yeah.
Very quickly.
Yep.
My friend, the yeah. only thing in the world I can think of that's worse than reading the sequel to Forrest Gump mm-hmm. is listening to the audio.
You are not far off. I think that is my...
Deny or confirm that when Gump speaks in the audiobook,
yeah.
it's supposed to sound like the Tom Hanks version of Forrest Gump.
It is a professional voice actor, clearly, who does a version of a Forrest Gump voice. Like he's,
oh, no.
he does take on the effect of the other character. It's very, it's not a good way. I think reading it would be better.
Okay. I just looked up on Audible here. It looks like the book is, it says 272 pages and the audiobook is 5,000 hours. I'm going to hit play here real quick before you review it, Rob.
Okay.
And there I was, sitting on the porch, drinking some Nesquik. Nesquik's like milk but chocolate.
I also have it brought up.
You brought it up? Oh, please.
I brought it up, too, because I wanted to see how many...
I guess we're cutting off the frog party. Just saw a frog, but fine. That's fine.
I saw it here, and it's actually a different... Slightly different version, I think, than the one maybe you listened to. Let me hit play here real quick.
Sure.
Most people don't like going into the forest, but my name is Forrest, so I don't mind walking into it one bit.
He likes to come inside himself?
I don't know. That's all they give you. That's only the sample they give you.
That was implied, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to. Yeah. I mean, this guy was very much like a. It was a normal day, like that kind of voice. But then, like when Forrest talked, he'd be like, "Well, I don't know. That don't seem right to me." Was the way his voice kind of sounded.
Not sure. I love that patois.
Yeah, I don't love it at all. Sounds like Liev Schreiber.
And you know, I do want to do a disclaimer here, because like obviously, I can't write a book, and I can't. This is a Gump claimer, and this guy did create some very memorable, iconic characters. You could say so. I will say that. So any negativity that I say afterward, I just want to have that Gump claimer out there.
Okay, thank
but
you.
But this book was, I mean, if I could sum it up in two words, cash grab.
Yikes, Bikes.
It was, I mean, there was no, because the whole premise is, right, he's going to raise his son.
Okay.
Forrest Jr.
Correct. But like there was very little relationship stuff. It was all Forrest like stumbling into adventure after adventure, and he was not
really
around his
son. Did you see the first movie? That seemed like also pretty much how
he had
relationships.
He had Forrest with his mother, Jenny. Like he had those
JFK.
With Bubba. I mean, he had moments where they, sure. This thing just went, and I'll just do a quick like, I have a couple of doozies here that I think I think the movie didn't have everything that was in the book, obviously, which was became apparent because there were a few things that happened. I was like, huh?
And Rob, real quick, remind us again, what is the name of this book?
Gump and Co.
Gump and Co. Okay.
Nice.
So this book starts out with Jenny dying, and she was remarried, raising Little Forrest in Alabama. So she must not have died in the first book, which was interesting. Didn't know that. You know, the shrimp company goes down. But the bottom line is he starts out, he's cleaning up at a strip club, runs into a guy.
Wait, it just starts as she dies.
Well, no, she's not. At that point, he didn't find that out.
Dear God, make me a pole so I can fly far, far, far away from here.
He sweeps the floors at a strip club. Some guy's getting into a fight. It turns out it was the former quarterback of his college team who now plays for the Saints, who are 0-8. And he goes, you know, Forrest, we need you. Come to practice for the Saints. He does. They put him on the team, scores a touchdown. The following week, he scores 4 touchdowns as a wide receiver. Then he gets a letter that Jenny died, goes to Alabama. Then that's the end of his NFL career because the Saints fired him because he didn't show up for the next game.
Okay, but I refuse.
I made me a lot of dollars to spend at the strip club.
I refuse to say the full words, but is he on S teams?
No, he was a wide receiver.
I thought he was kick return or
punt
return.
He was a running back.
Well, they put him in wide receiver for the Saints, and they did win when he played. But so,
was he part of the team when they had the bounty scandal?
No, this was a little bit earlier than that.
Oh, it was before Bounty Gate?
Long story short, he goes on all the... It starts off like
doesn't seem like it.
You know, I'm going to try to like just give you a brief... like. So he has to make money now, and he's got Little Forrest, who's being raised by Jenny's grandmother.
And what happened to all his billions?
Lost it. The shrimp company went out. You read that last week. So the shrimp company went under. They all lost all their money.
So
he had nothing.
I don't have a MBA. Mm-hmm. If you're like if you're worth like $800 million mm-hmm. and your company closes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You lose your stock equity.
Well, he gave away a lot of it.
Apparently, I think there was another guy that was with him and Lieutenant Dan who embezzled some and took it away as well.
Okay.
But
Lieutenant Dan in this book?
Oh, he is. And he starts selling encyclopedias, stumbles into a house. He's offered this Coca-Cola in the fridge. It tastes like shit. Turns out that guy is the guy who works for Coke, trying to invent new Coke. Forrest's like, this tastes like shit. Doctors it up. He's like, now this tastes better. The guy comes home, tastes it. He's like, whoa, this is amazing. But Forrest can't remember how he made it. Then he all of a sudden is in Atlanta in the Coke factory for months trying to come up with new Coke to recreate the flavor or the taste. He couldn't do it. He eventually just lies and says he did it so he can get out of it. They do this big party, this big reveal. Everybody drinks it, and the kid just goes, this tastes like shit. And they all think it tastes like shit. A riot thing breaks out. He runs away, jumps on a boxcar, on a train, and guess what? Lieutenant Dan is in that boxcar.
No.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Of
no.
course.
He's also fallen apart. He's also fallen apart.
Oh, Lieutenant Dan fell on hard times. Hard times. He didn't have his leg things. He was just, yeah.
Rob, if you didn't read the book, just say so. Don't
nope.
make this. This is hard to listen to.
They
don't
go to Washington, D.C.
What happened to his magic legs?
Yep. They go to Washington, D.C. They set up at a camp where they're protesting like a war or something. Forrest comes in, sees Lieutenant Dan arguing with somebody. You'll never believe this. Lieutenant Dan is arguing with Oliver North. Oliver North is like, wait a minute, Gump, I know that name. And remembers him from the medal. He then says, I need your help with something. And he brings Gump in on the Iran Contra controversy. And they go to meet Reagan. All of a sudden, they're meeting with the Ayatollah, who Forrest Gump calls the Ayatollah. And
yes,
Gump basically seals the deal for the arms for hostages thing. That, of course, falls apart. Oliver North throws him under the bus. Gump winds up in Germany, where he's cleaning tanks. He gets put on the Army football team. One day, he punts the football. It goes over the Berlin Wall. Gump has to go get it.
Come on.
Goes stop, in, and there's a please. National championship game of football, the soccer. And the guy accidentally kicked the football into goal, not the soccer ball. So Germany ends up losing.
This can't be real.
A riot happens, and that's when the Berlin Wall is torn down. Yep. Yep. And then he winds...
I mean, does this, honestly, can I tell you, does this end with him, like, being on the plane for 9/11?
No.
Because it seems like, it really seems like he's at every single major thing.
It gets, he comes back to the States. He is in jail. I forget why he's in jail. I took a lot of notes while I was listening, but I'm just scanning them. He winds up in jail. Guess what? One of his cellmates was a fella named Hinckley who kept talking about Jodie Foster. He gets out a work release.
Well, that
Jim
I agree
Baker.
With.
Remember that guy I used to call Jim Baker, that preacher guy?
Yeah.
He works for Jim Baker at a biblical amusement park. So does Hinckley, by the way. Gump plays Goliath. Hinckley plays David. Then, that was before the... Oh, my bad. Jail happened before Germany. That all happened before Germany. Then Germany happens.
Jail before Germany, except after...
Yeah.
Vietnam?
Schmermany.
Long thing. He winds up in the Iraq War after this and meets Lieutenant Dan in Saudi Arabia. And because Lieutenant Dan's like, my family's never missed a war. He somehow gets Lieutenant Dan in a tank. The army is just okay with Lieutenant Dan.
Never missed the war. It's not an episode of Cheers.
Yeah, it's not like must-see TV.
Dude, I'm bearing a big thing here. There is apparently he had an orangutan named Sue in the first book.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not lying. So Lieutenant Dan is in Saudi Arabia with an orangutan named Sue doing like sideshow stuff. Lieutenant Dan and the orangutan are in the tank. They end up getting Saddam Hussein in the tank. They go to Norman Schwarzkopf to turn Saddam Hussein in. He's like, no, we're not allowed to capture him. They have to return Saddam Hussein. At that point, Saddam's out. The tank gets hit with like a bomb, probably by our Air Force. Lieutenant Dan and the orangutan die in a tank explosion. Gump gets out and goes back to the States with his son.
Was there orangutangy sauce all over other people?
I mean, this is so he gets back and he goes to see Bubba's dad. Bubba's dad tells him to get into the oyster business. His son, Little Forrest or Forrest Jr., is like, I know how to, like, they concoct this game. Anyway, the oyster company takes off. He names it Gump & Co. title. And it ends, and there's a lot, but it ends with Forrest at the Academy Awards because they made a movie about his life. And David Letterman is hosting. And Forrest Gump, at the end, wins a special Oscar. And I kid you not, and let me write down, I want to say it exactly as it was said here. Forrest wins Most Lovable Certified Idiot in the World. That award.
He wins an Oscar for it?
Yep. And then Letterman says, do you have anything to say? And Forrest takes a moment and says, I've got to pee. Then another riot breaks out. Young Forrest is chewing on the program because he was hungry, turns into a spitball, throws it in Letterman's face. As the curtain comes down, Forrest, over all these other voices of this big riot and yelling, hears, that's my daddy, that's my daddy. And Forrest is like, and that was good enough for me. And that's the way it ends. And it was ridiculous, one. But two, I buried
the greenlit.
Here, I buried the biggest thing. I didn't say the biggest thing.
Hold on. You buried the biggest thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's not... an orangutan at a USO show dying in a tank with Lieutenant Dan?
Nope. Wait for this.
He didn't say anything about that orangutan being at a USO show.
This is the best part.
That orangutan signed up for war.
Well, the orangutan was working at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company before it went under.
What? Well, hold on.
That's true.
Give us at least a position. Just a position.
They didn't. You'd have to read the first book.
Head
this
monkey?
This was all said pre-book. I don't know.
I know orangutans aren't monkeys.
Here's the thing. Forrest Gump is 6'6", 240.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Bombshell, dude. I had no idea. They said that early in the book, and I was like, this changes everything.
Wait a minute. This all makes sense.
He's a gentle giant.
Yeah. All this happens to him. He gets into the oyster biz, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the army. Then he has the clothes on his back.
He walks around the United States with just the clothes on his back and his friends from the army. He's Jack Reacher. Forrest Gump is Jack Reacher.
It's really funny because I was thinking with the controversy of Tom Cruise playing Jack Reacher, everybody's like, Jack Reacher's supposed to be huge. Tom Hanks had none of that.
Nobody Jack Reacher's like, supposed to have hands the size of turkeys. That's right. In the books, they say hands the size of turkeys.
Could you imagine
How is Bubba's dad still alive?
I don't. I mean, I if that like was the thing you're taking Bubba issue were, with.
I mean, yeah, li- big time.
I want to say Life Shrimpport.
What was that?
Life Shrimpport. This from the guy who gave us Domunkinos.
Life Shrimpport.
What was that? Oh, also Domunkinos. Get the fuck out of here.
Context. It was out of context.
Here's what I'll say. Listeners, Twat Nation, we apologize. This is our final episode. We cannot continue anymore. We don't have the energy. We don't have the willpower. Robert Zemeckis, I'm also calling you out. You're a coward if you don't make this book into a movie.
How is someone not made two?
Zemeckis, make this movie or we riot. I bet, and also book three, I bet, is going to be Gump. He's like, I was there on January 6th. And I thought those nice people went to clean that building. And he's swept up in January 6th.
They shot that poor girl in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do it anything. I mean,
yeah, it really, it kind of, I'm not going to read the first book.
History writes it. Just put a guy in who doesn't know he's supposed to be there in every historical situation.
Even if his shrimp company went under, he should have had some amount of money or contingency plan to mitigate total loss of money. Even if that happened, which it sounds like it did, he should have money and royalties rolling in from Spencer's Gifts and Gadzooks for creating the phrase shit happens.
But we also have to remember that he's not smart, and in the first movie, he didn't realize how much money he had. So he might not have a job anymore, and he thinks like, oh, well, I must be poor, and he just finds his way into
all this time to think I was sitting next to a millionaire.
But let's also not, you know, if you catch four touchdowns in an NFL game, even if the Saints fire you, another team is going to call, you know?
Yeah, he pulled a Gabriel
Davis. He probably didn't want to leave the South. You know, he's a Southern boy.
Right. So that was my, that was Gump & Co.
Oh, my
Rob,
God.
I thank you. Mm-hmm. I hate you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Mm-hmm. You jumped on I don't know if Forrest Gump did this. You jumped on a grenade for us?
Mm-hmm. He did.
You're a hero. No, that was Captain America. He jumped on a grenade.
Somebody did.
Yeah, somebody jumped it. Yeah, it's what I said. It's Captain
Just
America.
Just think that's out there. That's out there not being made right now. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
But also think of how different of a movie it would have been if a 6'6", 240-pound actor was sitting on a park bench or waiting for a bus, excuse me.
Yeah.
And starts talking to people. Everybody would be terrified.
Yes.
And there was an orangutan running a shrimp corporation.
If I just got done fucking Sally Field and I came out of the room and there's a young 6'4", 6'6", 225-pound kid, I wouldn't say, your mama sure does care about your schooling. I'd say, sir, I'm so sorry. What can I do to make this right? Do you want to punch?
I don't know. I don't know as a boy if he would be that size already.
I don't. I would have been like, I would not be like seats taken. I'd be like, you know what? I'm gonna get the next school bus
out the window. You go.
You get the whole thing. I'm good. I'll walk to school. I want no trouble, sir.
Wow.
I think I have to read this now just to make sure. Rob, I love you, buddy. I don't believe a single word you said. I have to read it.
Please read it.
My word.
I'll do you a favor, Rob, and believe you, because I don't read any books, period. It ain't no way I'm listening or reading this fucking piece of shit.
My word today is, I told ya. part of me is like, let's just keep the whole episode about this, but also I never want to talk about this again, even though I do want to read the book. I never felt this way. This is really, I feel so strange.
Yeah, I hate, like, it's funny, been given so much information that you have no compartment to put it in because it's so stupid.
You may not believe it here. I run like a wind blow.
All right. Well,
hey, I'm open. Hey, throw it about. Throw it about. I'm open.
I'll say one quick tidbit and then we'll move on.
All right.
There is, I can't remember, it wasn't a documentary because I wouldn't watch a documentary in Forrest Gump. There's something I saw where Tom Hanks, when he filmed, they started filming the movie and Tom Hanks was just like, hi, my name's Forrest Gump. Nice to meet you. Oh, hi. Yes, I'm from Alabama. Very nice to meet you. And then they filmed, like on a secondary set, they filmed the little kid doing his parts.
Yeah.
And he watched the dailies and he's like, oh. And the kid talked like that in real life. And so he was like, I'm going to talk like that.
Yeah.
So the whole movie is Tom Hanks making fun of this little 8-year-old.
Haley Joel Osment.
He played little Forrest. He's talking about the kid who played young Forrest. Like the... When Forrest Gump was a kid.
When
That's right. I got you.
From that very forward. Ah, wow. Right.
Coming up next on the poll, Diamond.
send in your votes now to HRR. No, what is our email? TWAPod. I'm scrambled. TWAPod@gmail.com. Send us your emails right now. Let us know if you want us to do the rest of the episode in Forrest Gump voices.
Yeah, and if you have any complaints about any pirates on our show, please send them to the HRR.
Earlier today I did another podcast and you can tell which one by the email. My word today, if we can get it together, my word today is whoops.
Ooh, it's a fun, when somebody says it to you, it kind of doesn't make you want to forgive what just happened.
Yeah, it's not a sorry.
Is the way I think about that word. It's not a sorry. It's a oops, whoops.
I like, and then it also, you lose a little bit of the comedy, or not the comedy of it, maybe more of the worryingness of it when you say a whoopsie daisy. Like a whoops and a whoopsie daisy is completely different.
Or it can be, a whoopsie daisy can be terrifying if said by Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Oopsie daisy.
But like a whoops could be like you push a button and you're like, whoops, and you weren't supposed to push that button. Whoops can be serious.
Well, and if you've ever seen Eddie, I think that was a whoopie daisy.
That she took over control of the Knicks. Yeah, whoops to me, you're absolutely right. I feel like whoops, you're sort of absolving yourself of any responsibility where it's like,
right.
If I may quote Forrest Gump, it happens. What, shit? Yeah. But it's not taking responsibility where it's like, yeah, it's I'm zero. Sorry or anything.
Right.
It also reminds me, for whatever reason, of whenever I hear that word, I think of Urkel from Family Matters because he always had the, did I do that? Which again, you're taking zero responsibility or accountability.
Yeah, that is exactly like whoops. That's another whoops. True. That's another whoops.
And I feel like a whoops and an oops are very close. They're almost cousins because one is just the same word,
Brett.
But add a WH.
Holy shit. Oh my, hold
but
on.
Oops, no,
let's revel
up.
In, nope. Oh my God.
Nope. Shut up, shut it down.
This is like being shut an ancient down. Greek with the greats.
Nope. I'm just saying, why
whoops,
why do we
oops,
have two words?
It is so... Oh,
why do we have it, though? Why is there a whoops and why is there an oops?
And hoops is just whoops without the W.
No, hoops is completely
and
different.
I don't want to blow your guys' mind, right? But why isn't there an ooping cough?
Whoa.
There's a Shut whooping up. Cough.
Yeah.
You guys can both go to hell, okay? Why do we have two
Wait,
words that mean the exact same
hell,
thing?
Hell, hello? They're so close, they're almost neighbors.
Unbelievable.
Do you say whoops? I don't know that I use it other than like if I'm
whoops
like electronically messaging and I'm maybe if I
whoa,
were texting.
What was that?
Whoa.
Well,
sorry,
I wanted
Grandpa.
To all encompassing. I wanted to do email text.
When I log on to my AOL and I'm electronic messaging, I got a free CD in the mail.
If I'm partaking in the particles in the air around me to communicate to my loved one, Jay.
Well, if you mess up or something, I'll be like, whoops, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I will do that.
I do say it probably a few times a month, but it's almost always, the only times I can think right now are when I'm driving, where it's like my lights weren't on or...
That's a whoops. Yeah.
Like a whoops. Where it's like,
yeah.
And even if nobody else is in the car with me, I'll kind of say like, whoops.
That's almost like a mistake that you cause. Like when you're only dealing with yourself, it's kind of all right.
Yes.
But if you like spill a drink on somebody and say, whoops, that's not going to go over well.
You also say it weird.
Whoops.
You're saying whoops. That sounds weird, Rob.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Whoops. Whoops.
Yeah, you were saying whoops. Whoop.
It's almost like the Midwestern.
A minute. Isn't it? Wait, what's the Britney Spears song?
Oops.
Whoops.
It's oops, I did it again.
Whoops.
Oh, okay.
I think it'd be much funnier if it was whoops, I did it again.
Oh, you're not gonna ridicule Rob for not knowing the fucking word?
No, you know what I was thinking
Jesus
of?
Jesus Christ.
I was thinking of... I forgot it. Never mind.
Britney Spears. Whoops. Ari Spears. Whoa. What the...
Ari
Holy
Spears.
Shit, guys.
Bad TV fave.
Oh, guys, call the president.
Oh, I remembered now. I was thinking of Oops, There It Is.
tag team.
No, that's whoop.
I know. I'm kidding.
Oops. Oh, there it is.
And we can't be sure with you, Rob. You don't know classical music. You don't know music and or.
Wait, hold on. Brett, you think. You think the song Whoops, There It Is is classical music?
I mean, it's classic. It's classic music. Huh. I mean,
what did you see at the symphony tonight?
Oh, are you talking about tag team?
It was the London Philharmonic doing Concerto. Whoops, There It Is. The conductor's just like pumping his fist. Tag team. Check it, director. Let's begin. Violins and flutes and bass.
What do you think the word you use the most is? Let's say
fuck.
Doing something around the house, something falls.
Fuck is
something falls off the counter. What do you think you said?
Fuck. Shitter, goddammit.
Yeah.
Fuck for
one
me.
Of those two. Depending. Typically
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I'd probably say fuck or shit. But now with a child, I think I am going more like I say darn it a lot now.
Ooh.
Okay. Because Olaf says darn it in
Okay.
Frozen.
He can't be trusted.
And Dot says, oh, darn it, a lot because she sees it in Frozen.
I don't know if you... That's smart, Brett, because I can give you a little tip. What I did, I made the mistake of swearing well past the point where they started understanding and not realizing it. So, like, I was swearing and then all of a sudden they would repeat. I'm like, oh, I missed that we were there already.
She's definitely said a curse word after I've said it.
Yeah.
So I've now tried to hold back a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
But I definitely still do it. It's more so when it's major. You know, they remember like if something falls and it crashes and you, but if you just say it off camp, like they associate with that. But like just off to the side, they're not going to remember you said it.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten to the like when I drive my daughter to school, because sometimes with road, you know, somebody cuts you, like you just accidentally swear, you don't even realize it. And my daughter just started doing this thing where she goes, and that was our bad word of the day, folks. Which is pretty great.
I do think I'll forego saying her name so that when she grows up and listens to this, she's not humiliated by Uncle Brett saying whoops and oops are so close. Isn't that amazing? I will say your daughter is going to be the funniest person alive.
She's well on her way.
Based
she's
on what you
I think she'll be,
the pictures you send in terms of like the art she does in class, and like she drew like dead SpongeBob or something. I can't remember what it was.
That's right. Dead Patrick.
Dead Patrick. I was crying laughing.
Actually, she might be though Harley Quinn, like her origin story of like the next psychopath.
I think she's going to be the funniest person alive.
I got to say, because I know my wife, I got to say, I think my son is not far behind. And I don't really ever say this word, so I have no idea where he got it. I know I already messaged you guys that he said this, but my wife was driving him to school and he was talking about magicians. And she was like, if you were a magician, what would your name be? And he just goes, Jack Piss.
And tell everybody how old your son is.
Four
years old.
But I do not say piss. I don't say that word.
I would kill to be able in an improv show to come up with the name Jack Piss. That is perfection.
It would murder in an improv show.
Yeah.
A guy named Jack Piss.
If you're listening now and you do improv and it comes back to us that you stole that idea, we'll write a negative review for you on Yelp.
If all of a sudden we see Jack Piss is on Twitter, I will be furious.
I will be Jack pissed off.
He's 6'6", 265, former Marine, Jack Piss. He can't fight worth a damn, but he's got gumption.
You can't take the piss out of him.
Force gumption.
No.
But those are my oops, I guess. Bad words, I can say whoops. Yeah. I also had a whoop strap. I think that's why I was saying whoops.
What's
because
a whoop
I had
strap?
A whoop strap.
What is that?
Oh, it's that thing that's like an Apple Watch, but there's no screen on it, and it tracks all your analytics.
Yeah, it monitors
and stuff
your
like
sleep.
That.
I did it for about 6 months, and I got rid of it because I don't like
pretty
wearing
stupid
watches. And I was like, if I'm going to have something on my wrist, it should be a watch because this doesn't really tell my time.
Yeah,
tell the time, I should say. But yeah, it will like monitor your output, like your exercise, and also it will monitor like your sleep. You'll see like how well you slept through the night. And I will say, I found out like if I have a glass of wine, it's okay. If I have two or three, I have bad sleep.
Your recovery. It can track like your recovery from like a bender.
Yeah.
I do like you said, tell my time, which I think that would be good if there's a device that's like, the time is 1:35 PM. Your time is 7:30 PM. I do like that. It's almost like a 5 o'clock somewhere situation.
Yeah. It just tracks how slow you are. Yeah. Or like if you're running behind, you're like, well, this is the real time.
Yes.
But for you, it's like, it's an hour later. So you've got to get moving.
Every day I basically stay up till 5 AM and then sleep till 3 PM. So for me, I need some sort of
I know I was in town recently and I tried to text you something to pick something up at your house, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you did not respond, so I had to text your wife.
Well, here's what I'll say, Brett. You texted me. I only respond to electronic communication.
Well, that was my issue. I needed to put a little hat on a pigeon and send him over with little electrodes in his head.
Hey, poor Norwich. Brett says he wants to pick up the chairs.
Yeah, Brett was recently, was not dating the podcast. Brett was recently in town. Where did we went to?
I don't know the name.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a Japanese like Gaiu barbecue yakitori. Something. It's like gaiyaku or something like that.
And it was delicious. It's a lot of
so good.
You get some beef, you get some pork, you get some chicken, mm-hmm. you grill it yourself. Mm-hmm. You can. Yeah. You get to ruin the meat you paid for.
It's true.
I don't think anybody ruined any meat.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah. It was all. I thought we all did very well.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was very good. Brett, how was your stay in Chicago?
Cold. No. I came in the coldest weekend of the year, and the place I stayed in did not have the heat working correctly. So it was very cold in our stay the whole time. Shout out Sonder Apartments. You're a garbage company, and I can't wait to respond to the email you sent me about.
I just got their email response, Brett. It says, whoops.
Oh, and it says they are a sponsor of the show. So let's play some ads. Here's an ad from Sonder's Apartments. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back, and please, Sonder's Apartments, don't come after us.
Please,
we're broke.
I want that smoke. You can come after me big time.
Isn't if your shrimp company went under, isn't the first lateral move you'd make to oysters? You have all the boats, all the nets. You're already getting, I want to say, 40 to 50 pounds of oysters in the nets anyways.
Look, I will only say that he started doing it. It was doing all right. They were barely getting by, but then they were shut down because of the oysters thrive on bacteria. But then young Forrest had an idea that they could move the oysters over by the sewage plant because they'll grow faster and then they can move them to freshwater because I guess they flush themselves after 24 hours. So that move led to boom, like because nobody else was really getting oysters. They were. That's what really, and I forgot to mention, he hired Oliver North. He offered a job to the Ayatollah and to General Schwarzkopf. He hired Jim Baker. He was something for that. He hired everybody to work for Gump & Co. I totally forgot that part.
There's a lot you can do with oysters. Oysters Rockefeller. That's it.
You could chuck them. You can, well.
Char back. Grill. That was our sponsor break for Gump & Co.
Shuck.
Coming to an audiobook store near you.
Oh, and actually I hear, that's weird. I thought this system of communication went extinct ever since we got electronic communication. I hear the Pony Express coming. Of course, the Pony Express means we've got some mail.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, everybody. Haven't you heard? Mail is the only word. You got to take the mail.
Hey, Brett.
What? What? I'm doing my mail thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt such a fucking killer song.
You didn't even know where that was going to go. That mailman was going to go through the times.
I think you were going to rhyme mail with mail.
No way. Nope, I disagree.
But Brett, hey, buddy, you can punch out. You can go home. It's your time is 5 p.m. You're off work because
what?
Our friend Dag sent us in a jingle that they made from your previous mail song. Give it a listen.
Hey, you boy over there, what's in the bag? My bag? M-A-I-L. Mail time is here. It's time for mail. It's mail time. Mail time.
Wow. Brett, what do you think?
I feel like my shrimp boat lost its job.
Your shrimp boat lost its job. So you think boats deserve unemployment?
You don't think boats don't do all the work?
You don't think boats don't do all the work?
That was awesome. That was a really, thank you very much for sending that in. That was awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I like that you used my own voice. You didn't, there's some ownership there.
Yeah, you fed the ego. Thank you for feeding the ego.
Yeah, you definitely fed the ego.
Yeah, you did use Brett's voice. Thank you for not covering it. We are litigious. We will see you in court because you didn't ask us first. But truly, I will echo the sentiment shared. Dag, that was fucking outstanding.
Yep.
Please send us more songs. Anyone and everyone.
Yeah, that was, I know I could harmonize that well with my own voice.
when I saw the email, I listened to it several times.
Same. It's
fantastic. Yeah, it was great. And let's read one other email. Thank you for the audio here. Here's an email from Morgan. Morgan says, juice recommendation. Guys, the absolute best juice. Did we talk about juice in a previous episode?
Oh, yeah. We talked about one or a couple of ago. Mm-hmm. You said the best one was like that banana apple crap.
The absolute best juice is the fresh pineapple juice from Aldi. If you have an Aldi near you, you gotta try it. Just like the old Tropicana OJ commercial, it's like someone popped a straw straight into a pineapple. It's awesome when you're starting to get a cold and have that scratch slash tickle in your throat. The juice is like drinking straight up sunshine.
Okay.
On a side note, I live in Sheboygan Falls, immediately west of Sheboygan. So there's Sheboygan and then Sheboygan Falls. That's insane. And the height of excitement was when Sheboygan was mentioned in Home Alone by John Candy's character, Gus Polinski. Keep up the fun. Best, Morgan.
All right. Pineapple juice sounds valid. That sounds valid.
I just saw...
It's very acidic.
I just saw a conspiracy theory that...
I saw that too.
Tries to prove that John Candy in Home Alone is the devil. Because Catherine O'Hara goes to the front desk and she's like, please get me a ticket, et cetera, et cetera. And she goes, I'd sell my soul for a ticket. And immediately he's like, hi.
Yeah, that's classic John Hughes, always putting the devil in movies.
Yeah, the devil went down to Wheaton, Illinois. Mm-hmm. The devil went down to Wheaton and he was looking for a soul to steal.
Turn that into a fun song, I dare you. Brett, what's your word?
Well, I was just going to say, I do a pineapple juice. I enjoy that in mixed in a cocktail. I can't drink it straight up, but I will check my local Aldi.
There you go.
No Paula Abdul.
If I'm feeling, you know, feeling like I got an extra quarter in my pocket and I want to take a cart into Aldi, then I will go to Aldi. My word today is deadline.
All right. I will just say I'm bad at deadlines because I will wait until the last minute always.
Yes.
So a deadline is more like a start time for me.
100%. I studied abroad for a semester in Canterbury. And for I took a Shakespeare class. Mm-hmm. And we had to, for the end of the semester, we had to turn in like a 20-page report on whatever. Mm-hmm. I literally waited until the day that I had to fly back to Illinois. And I scrambled. And I wrote nonsense and then turned in 20 pages, truly like on my way to get to the bus to go back to,
oh my God,
to get to London to fly back to Chicago. On the way there, I had all my suitcases and the paper. I just hot off the printer. I'm Captain Procrastination.
Yeah.
I worked at Canterbury and I had a deadline. I had to figure out how to put cream into an egg during the Easter season.
Brett, if you don't know how to put cream into an egg, buddy, I got to tell you about the birds and the bees.
I am also, I think we're all on the same kind of page on this. There's some things where I'm like, I'll do this right away, but I would say most things, same thing. I wait until the very last second.
And if I get a thing of like, this is the day that it's due, I'm like, this is the day that I will think about it then.
Yes.
That's just the way my brain works. I'm like, I've got 2 weeks. I'm not going to think about this for 2 weeks.
And I've absolutely had jobs where I have to like do something and I have put it off the entire week. Mm-hmm. I will literally get up and realize I didn't get it done. And then I'll practice. I'll be like, hello. I'll practice my sick voice. And then I'll call. This was back when you had to call in sick. And I'd be like, hey, it's Adel. I don't think I can come in. And they'd buy it, and I'd be like, this is 4 years of theater paid off.
Oh, I even love sometimes, and sometimes I'll know that, let's say I know the deadline's Friday. Rather than do it, I spend the day thinking of an excuse to send on Friday so I can turn it in on Monday. something was going on, and I just couldn't get to it.
My computer.
I can get it to you by Monday. And I'm like, yes.
What if there's a thing
two
like,
more days to not do it?
Your phone rings, and you answer it, and they're like, hey, this is the deadline. You're like, oh no, Jim Andrews. Like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Hang up.
What do we think? For me personally, I think it's like a dopamine thing where I'm like, this brings me no joy.
Right.
So I'll like sit down. And I'll be like, oh, I'll start to do this. And then I'll be like, I deserve 6 hours of TV.
Yep.
I mean, this is a while ago because I've since been put on Adderall. and now I'm flying through work, but I feel
now you're on a high line.
Now I'm on a high line. But I definitely had the mindset of like, I'd type like the title of it, of a page or something, and I'd be like, I deserve to watch an entire deserve to watch an entire season of Mad About You.
Yeah.
Depending on the project or whatever. So I don't like, well, we all know I'm not a reader. I don't like reading, but I also not a big fan of writing. Mm-hmm. So if it's something that I have to write like a large amount of stuff too, boy, I can't put pen to paper, and I can't like sit down in my thoughts and do it. Like I write several lines over multiple days.
Pen to paper is the easiest part.
No, I can't. No, not at all. I hate it.
There is no better feeling though to put something off until the last minute and get it done in time.
Oh yeah.
That's a great feeling. It's a really good feeling.
And get an email back saying,
rush.
Great, thanks. Like you stress about something so, like there's always times where I'm like, this is going to be wrong. This sucks. Forget it. I'll just send it in. And then you just get a response like, great, thanks. That's all I needed. And you're like, God damn, why did I put it off and stick it in my brain for so long and give me anxiety on it?
Do you know what the second best feeling is though? Very close to the first.
Putting cream in an egg?
Ooh, that's up there. When you get something that says deadline extended.
Oh, yes.
The extension is a beautiful thing.
The only thing comparable to that is like when you're a kid and it's like snow day. You wake up and it's like school's canceled. Like
That's nothing that better feeling. On earth. It is that feeling. Oh. You're just given time that you didn't think you had. It's wonderful.
Do you think when you go to heaven, you got to wait in the deadline to get into the gates?
That's for a Grateful Dead concert, I think you're thinking of.
Oh, that's, same thing. Same thing.
I think it would be very funny if heaven is real and you get there and there's such a backlog. It's like bottlenecked where they're like, you take a number and you're like, 16 billion? What? And that's eternity. It's like once you get into heaven, you're only there a week and then you like disappear forever. They say heaven is eternal because of the line. They're being sarcastic.
You're just waiting.
They're being sarcastic.
Just waiting in the clouds.
Like, we are just seeing Christopher Columbus, sir. Can you please get in the back of the line?
What?
1492? Oh, boy.
No. The director of,
Harry Potter? I was going to say, I was literally about to say, I'm not surprised that you just got to him. I'm surprised he's in heaven. Would you know my name?
Yeah, they also have a lot of, like, bookkeeping issues with, like, double names.
Oh, yeah. They don't have computers in heaven. Wi-Fi doesn't reach.
Like Christopher Columbus?
Yeah.
That's me. And they're like, oh, no. I couldn't think of a good heaven Wi-Fi name.
You're John Smith? Hey, Gabriel, I feel like we've let in so many John Smiths. Who's?
I feel like there's...
Should we round them up or what's going on? Let's get to the bottom of this. I think Angel Detectives would be a good TV show.
Oh, Angel Detectives would be fun.
Ooh, do they just investigate heaven crimes or do they go on earth to solve crimes?
Ooh,
I think heaven crimes would be cool because it's an unknown genre.
Oh, CSI heaven.
What sucks, Rob, is that you accidentally came up with the best name ever, which is heaven crimes. If I'm flipping through TV and I'm like, nah. If I saw something called heaven crimes, there's no way I'm not stopping.
Oh, I'm watching. And you could just picture like the cops come into God's office and he's like, this isn't supposed to happen here.
Okay. Hear me out. Skeet Ulrich, Brad Garrett.
It's got to be Brad Pitt because he's as close to an angel as I can think of on earth.
Yeah. Not from what I've heard.
I think
Brad Garrett.
At the left hand of the Father. Yeah!
What? Who song was that?
That was from CSI.
It's a CSI beginning.
I know that song. Oh. I'm asking Brett what that was. That sounded like Axl Rose in 98.
Yeah, well, that's who's up there. I didn't want to yell how I could in the microphone to actually do it.
I saw you grab your throat immediately after doing that.
Oh, yeah. That's going to put me down.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Oh, man. We should really write a spec script for, or not a spec script, this would just be a pilot for Heaven Crime.
Heaven Crime would be great.
Heaven Crimes. CHI Heaven Crimes. Maloney's got to be in it because he's great.
Oh, yeah, he's good. Stabler goes to
heaven.
Who
played Bosch? Whoever played Bosch is also in it.
I think his name was Bosch.
Titus something?
I don't think he was.
No,
acting.
That's Christopher Titus.
He wasn't acting.
No.
Okay, who else?
Oh, Michael Landon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't. Because he wasn't something called.
He was in Highway to Heaven.
He was in Highway to Heaven.
Feathered hair.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get Jabbar in there, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's always fun to have a tall guy.
Leslie Nielsen.
George Burns needs to reprise his role as God.
Sure. Yes.
The woman who plays Patty Mayonnaise on Doug.
Sure.
Gotta get
Caviezel her. Caviezel in the first episode. We immediately kill him.
He's the victim. And they're
he's the victim.
We should solve this. We're like, no, that's okay. Yeah. This one's, we're good.
It'd be funny if every single episode, it comes down to like, oh, it was God.
Of course. It always goes up to the top.
They always go to his office and they're like, we can't solve it. He's like, no, I smote them. I smited them. They were, they didn't deserve to be here. Is it smite or smoted?
I don't know the past
smoops.
Tense of that.
I think smit? It's smoops.
It's smit.
Well, Rob, while we are pondering what the pilot will be for Heaven Crimes, what is your word this weekend?
My word
weekend?
This weekend is significant. I like it because obviously something could have great significance to you. Your significant other.
I think
other.
A lot of times I think of your, who's your significant other?
Your SO. People say that. I don't like that.
Yeah, that truly, there was a period of time, I don't know, I want to say 8 years ago, where I got an email and the learning curve, for whatever reason, was very steep for me, where I got an email that was like, I'm having this, maybe it was like Farrell's Super Bowl party or something, mm-hmm. but it was like, I'm having this party, SOs are welcome. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there being like, SOs are welcome. And I really...
Yeah. You're like,
was chewing it over.
What? Sons of
I was
what?
Really, sons of Sam?
Students,
like,
anarchy, students,
bitches.
I was really stewing it. I was like, I don't know what this is. And I was like, maybe it's a typo, but I'd be embarrassed to be like.
Signal orientator.
And I eventually sussed it out. But it was such a weird switch to
oh,
be
you
like.
Sussed it out. That's who you
when did we
suss
S.O. Sussed out. I was like, when did we all agree that we're just using that? Like, it seemed like I missed the boat on that.
I like. Like it sounds like you're so's welcome.
You and your so is welcome.
Your so is welcome.
Excuse me.
I guess it's maybe a term you use more now for, you know, because you don't know if gender roles or all that stuff. Rather than saying, oh, is this your husband? Who's your wife? Stuff like that. I guess it's easier to say, who's your significant other?
Partner, significant other. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're kind of then, you're correct then mm-hmm. and not assuming with mm-hmm. somebody. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, it's also, it's just such also a strange thing to say. It just sounds weird.
Yeah. I've also made the mistake of saying, I've tried to overcorrect and I'll immediately come out of the gate and be like, is this your partner? And they're like, yeah. Turns out they're cops.
And they got a crime to solve in
heaven. In heaven. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. Heaven crimes.
In him, with him.
Heaven Crimes in the Field in front of a dead city.
Like great moments of significance, like even in your life or historical significance. You know, have that. You have.
Yeah, I mean, like there was one time I was in Germany and this guy kicked a ball over the mall and it caused a riot in the stadium.
What are, can you think of like, without getting too personal, I guess, as personal as you want, like one of the most formative events of your childhood or like youth?
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
And the reason I bring that up is because for me, it was probably when my parents divorced and my dad moved back to Palestine. And so there we were. And
then he went to host Win Palestine's Money, right? Is that correct?
What was that?
Win
Dry
Palestine's
eyes.
Money.
This is what you get
no,
for
I got
sharing.
I just wanted, this, I just wanted to do what you did to me when I made a joke earlier.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have like
as,
any...
as a youth.
Yeah,
how old were you, Adel, when that happened?
10.
Nice. I think I was 10 when my parents got divorced too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. When I was 10, my parents renewed their vows.
Huh. So there was some sort of trouble.
No, there wasn't at all.
Why else would you renew your vows?
I don't know. Just decided to do it. I don't know.
Someone broke them, so they had to renew them.
They fortify looked at the cost spell. Of a divorce, and they were like, no, let's just kick
no,
this
no,
off
no.
again.
Let's double
let's
down.
Try. Yeah, let's double down.
Everything on black.
We moved when I was in sixth grade, mm-hmm. but what sucked is we moved over Christmas break.
Okay. Oh.
So like we left. So like I went with all my friends who I knew in sixth grade and we left at Christmas break. And then I went to a new school in the dead middle of the school year. and just had, for that first year, had just the no friends whatsoever. Because it's weird. It's I feel like it's okay to come in from summer break because
right.
everyone's going to a new grade anyway, so right. there just might have been people you never met or whatever.
Right.
But yeah. all of a sudden, you're just in class, and they're like, where the fuck did you come from?
That's tough. I only started at a new school at the beginning of a school year, which is tough enough. But yeah, mid-year's, yeah. mid-year's tough.
Absolutely
yeah.
brutal.
Yeah.
And you were like trying so to make small like, talk. You're like, hey, so you have a significant other or anything? Or
yeah, right. No, I remember like this. I was so stupid. Like this one girl mentioned the song Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know that song. I'm like, Our House is a very, very, very. And then she just dead-eyed looked at me and was like, yeah, but like, please don't sing it. And I was like,
oh, oh, do you know this? I just remember this. I forgot about this.
And I made that. That was the first day I made my bitch list.
In my new school in eighth grade, I very briefly had a nickname given to me, and that nickname was AIDS.
Okay. I'm going to say zero for originality.
Well, do you like, you know how they got there?
Hold on. Rob White, white blood cells.
You need those to combat
Close.
AIDS.
There was okay. a kid famous, Ryan White.
Oh,
you
yeah.
remember that? And because my name is Rob White, they're like, your name is AIDS. It was like, it.
Wow, that's actually pretty. Actually, that's pretty clever then, because they're up on the news, those eighth graders were.
Right. Well, hold on. I don't think that's clever. I think that's a whoops, oops situation. I think these 6 year olds are probably way behind.
Good name.
With the
good
news.
Thing my name wasn't Jessica, or my nickname would be Well.
Baby Jessica, of course.
Well, I will say, sixth grade came in, and then by eighth grade, I had won the school over, and I was most talented, and I was class president. And it only
I was most talented?
Years.
What are you talking about? You can't just declare that?
Well, yeah, they do at the end
I
of the year.
I started your school 2 weeks in, I was most talented.
No, not 2 weeks.
What are you talking about?
At the end of the year, you get awards for
that's
like
a subjective. Oh, you got, okay, you got a senior
like
superlative.
Yeah,
you got a
superlative.
Senior superlative.
Yes.
Say that.
I don't know what that means. That's why I said it the way I did.
I can't say, yeah, so guys, I went to Illinois State University. I went to college, and my freshman year, I had the biggest dick on campus, largest penis of all time. And
I said I was voted. No one, you didn't say anything about voting for the penis competition.
There was voting, and I got less votes. Just on the way you carry yourself.
That's why your nickname was ISU.
I told ya. I remember watching, I was in eighth grade, about to go into high school. My sister is a year older than me, of course. Of course, this is obvious. And she was in speech and debate. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go into speech and debate as well. And like, and that's how I like start to do everything I've been doing the last X amount of years. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching fucking Dazed and Confused. And there's a scene in Dazed and Confused where they like round up all the freshmen in like the back of a truck and haze them.
Yep.
And I remember my sister Sadia sitting in the room watching the movie with me, and she was kind of shaking her head, and she goes, get ready. And I was like, huh? And she's like, get ready. And she made me think that it was going to be, and there was some amount of, I was on the football team, and there was absolutely some pretty brutal physical hazing that I won't get into. But it was, I remember just being, that whole summer, being terrified of what was going to happen to me. And when I got to high school, there were kids who called me. They thought my name was Abdul because they're like, you're Sadia's little brother, Abdul. And then they would all, several of them were like, I heard you wear a turban. And I'm like, you heard I wear a turban? So some casual racism. And
it's like, I see you every day and you don't wear it, but yeah. I heard you do. Any like,
what
truth
am I,
to that?
Yeah. Are you one of them Saturday, Sunday turban wearers?
Are you the fourth guy I fight in Mike Tyson's Punch Out or what?
But I thought just based on 80s movies that high school was going to be this whole new world.
Surfing.
Of bullies and
Phoebe Cates naked.
Surfing, Rob Banks and Reagan masks. Mm-hmm.
were the kids in Breakpoint in high school?
No, I think they were, there's
Point
that in college.
Breakpoint.
Yeah, Breakpoint.
Breakpoint, what? No, Breakpoint is the
that's
Kristen
the movie
Dunst.
I would have seen. I would have seen Breakpoint.
True.
Well, I'm saying if they're in high school, it's Break Point, because in Point Break, they're adults.
That's true. I guess you're right. It's a prequel.
You went to Break Point High? Oh, yeah.
Fast time.
Professor Bodhisattva?
How do you say Spicoli backwards? Is it all close? Do you have a favorite high school movie?
Oh, that's a...
I was weirdly, there's a few years, I was probably 13 or 14, so forgive me. There's a few years where I was very big into The Faculty.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
John Stewart and who's
Josh Richard, Hartnett.
Richard Dreyfuss' daughter? Was it,
I don't know. Josh Hartnett was the main guy in that.
So I think the answer has to be Breakfast Club, but I did really like 3 o'clock High.
What's that?
It was a movie about a guy in high school, and this bully was like, I'll see you at 3 o'clock. And the whole movie is his anticipation of this fight. It's an 80s comedy.
Is this real?
Yeah.
Rob?
Of course it's real. What are you talking about? Of course it's a nondescript, stupid movie that Rob knows.
What is going on? Did your family live inside a Walmart bargain bin VHS?
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? Yeah. Yeah. He got all the Netflix DVDs that were returned to sender, and they're like, all right, we'll just send them to the White House.
That is insane.
I'm going to say Encino Man.
That's a very good one. Yeah,
that's a good
and
one.
Bill and Ted. Break, Bill and Ted, too.
Yeah, Bill and Ted's good. Yeah.
Yeah. How High? No, I'm kidding.
She's All That. Oh. Can't Hardly Wait. There's a lot of goodies. There's not a lot of high school movies made anymore. There's Bottoms. There's a movie called Bottoms that came out last year, maybe. Not a lot of high school comedies. Not a lot of comedies in general coming out.
Yeah, well, High School Musical really just closed the genre up.
Turned into a 1920s salesman. Yeah, a lot of High School Musical.
Yeah, really, it sums it up.
Well, when we're done with Heaven Crimes, we could do like Heaven High for all the dead teenagers. Well, the angels.
What was the movie?
I guess when you look at it, they are dead teenagers.
Which kind of sounds sad. So let's go with Teenage Angels.
I guess that's why God came up with the word angels.
Ten angels. Ten angels.
Ten angels. Ten angels D. Jack Black, Kyle Gass. That's nothing.
Or very high school.
Yeah, super up high, up high school.
Very high school is great. Yeah, very high school.
Very, 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 the highest school. Highest school. That rules. Church's High School.
Yeah, Church's High School. Yeah.
I'll take no questions.
If you have a favorite high school movie that maybe we missed, because only two brains working here on movies, because one brain has seen movies, but not at movies that we have seen.
I watched a movie called 3 o'clock where a guy says, yeah, I'll see you at 3 o'clock. And then the whole movie is the counting down of the guy till 3 o'clock.
There's more to it than that.
It has a huge score on softpairs.com.
What about Just One of the Guys? Have you seen that?
Wait, who is it?
Yes, I do love that movie. Okay, it's a great,
there's
great
one.
Movie.
All right. Okay, good.
Great there's movie. One. But that's a good movie. See, there's a big difference, Rob. Sometimes you watch good movies that everyone heard of, and sometimes you watch 2 a.m. and You Must Be Lonely.
Name one star. And I'm being very generous with that word. Name one star of 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. What was it called?
Matchbox
20? I'm thinking of this. No, I truly PM. Was like, it's 3 a.m. I must be crazy.
I don't know the main guys who he was. I mean, he's been in other stuff too. And that I believe, and this is, I might be wrong, but I believe the bully.
Luce Willis.
I believe the bully is the guy who plays the father of the kid in Kindergarten Cop, like the bad guy. I believe that's who the bully was.
You're absolutely making this up.
God.
When I ask you to name any actor in the movie, you go, there's the one guy who was in other stuff.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, it's been hours since I've seen 3 p.m.
So I typed in 3 p.m. into IMDb. I bet IMDb doesn't even recognize this shit. There's one movie called 3 p.m. and it's a short film. Oh, wait, hold on. There's two. Oh, hold on. Was it a TV series?
No. You typed in 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
Because the movie's called 3 o'clock High. And whatever, it's got 7.1 stars on IMDb.
sorry for our confusion. Wait, it has how many stars?
7.1 out of 10.
And then once you remove all your family members and there's only one more review left, how many stars
is
that?
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, the main guy's name is Casey Simasco. Annie Ryan.
Great name. That is
I don't
a great
know.
Name. So the whole.
Oh, I was right. Richard Tyson. That was, he was the bully. He was the guy who played the kid's dad in Kindergarten Cop. So there you go.
So.
Unbelievable.
It's called 3 o'clock High School. So this one bully saying.
No, it's not high school. It's 3 o'clock High.
Rob, I can't. Yep. I can't. My brain won't receive this information because it's rejecting it as false. It's called.
Rock and Roll High School is a good one. Rock and Roll High School would like. Isn't Corey Haim in that one?
Never seen it.
Me neither.
I think Crybaby.
That's a good one.
So 3 o'clock High. This movie, the title suggests that one bully saying, I'll see you at 3 o'clock, has permeated and affected the entire high school.
Mm-hmm.
that they're now known by the moniker 3 o'clock high. That is, a nerd gets himself in hot water with the new bully. A new bully? What is that? A nerd gets himself in hot water with the new bully.
Mm-hmm.
A new bully?
He was new to the school and a bully. Yeah. Pretty intimidating.
That doesn't... We've never seen that before. It's always a new kid being bullied by the guy who's changes everything.
Flipped it on his head.
A quiet bad boy. Okay. The new bully is a quiet bad boy.
He just doesn't say much.
It's like someone took anti-screenwriting. How to Not Save the Cat? What were they reading? The bully is a quiet, cool kid who's new to the school. A quiet bad boy. I'm seeing the trailer. It's kind of running on loop on IMDb. And it's so funny to see someone in school wearing sunglasses because that's like the 80s trope.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone does.
Bow, bow. Oh, Ferris Bueller.
Oh, Ferris Bueller. Also Summer School, now that I think about it.
Also Soul Man.
Mm. Never.
That's college. That's why I made that noise. Oh, okay. No, well, other reason. That was the only reason I made that disapproving noise.
And no other reason. Otherwise,
no other reason. It was just because
water.
I was college.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, if you have a favorite high school movie that we missed, you can always send it to our email address, which is twapodcast@gmail.com.
It's twapod@gmail.com.
HRR pod.
Okay, sorry, twapod@gmail.com. If you have anything, obviously we talked a lot of movies. So once again, if you'd like to send us a movie to sequelize, we will start the sequelized robot.
Brett, I think we would all appreciate it if you could sum up today's words in the spirit of Gump & Co.
Yes.
Well, you know, my mama always said, sometimes you get a whoops, but sometimes you don't. And so when you're walking down the street and you got to be somewhere and you got to get to your deadline, sometimes you find yourself in a significant situation. And then you find out that you fathered 14 kids because of the strip club you worked at. They said, you're big. You're a big boy. So I've got Forrest Jr., Twig, Branch, Leaf.
My
Stump.
Significant other.
My twignificant other.
Okay, listen to this. We're ending the episode, but listen to this cast. This is at the bottom of the list of 3 o'clock high. Yeardley Smith.
Great.
Famously plays Lisa Simpson. Also, Jeffrey Tambor. Paul Feig plays Hall Monitor. There's somebody else here. I don't know that. Where was the other person? Philip Baker Hall.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. So there
Killer
you go.
Killer cast, but they're all like bit parts.
That's the start of their careers. They're like, I'm going to do this really bad movie, and then hopefully I get better after that.
What is going on? I got to watch this movie. I got to read that book. Email us your high school nicknames.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.